The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372. Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thank you so much for listening to the show that celebrates creating in stories. So let's get together and tune our imaginations. Today, I don't have a clue. Maybe Mrs. Peacock can assist. Shall we go to the library? Recognize that? I loved playing the game of Clue when I was a kid. Who did it? A seemingly simple question in a flat board game. And I was fascinated with the puzzle of trying to reduce the possibilities and discover the answer. I adored the idea of one day having a big house that had many extravagant rooms like the board game. A library, a ballroom. Who doesn't want to have that in their house? And that the dinner guests would exchange, this is how I imagined it, because of course the Clue in the game didn't talk, but I imagined the witty banter, the stories from their world travels, sort of them lingering around this big table for hours. And I imagined these folks were the kind that would donate big dollars to charity and have dinner clothes and rely on the help to make their daily lives work, that they complained a lot, that they attended all the social events, that they had chauffeurs and fancy cars, and that, that's interesting. In my notes, I said, and fail to see their world. I didn't remember what I was thinking there, but maybe that's just that they're obtuse about the rest of the world. And it wasn't until absolutely much later in life that I realized the game was actually about murder. And it was like years later, I kind of had this, maybe it was when I had kids and I was like, wait, what? I'm going to teach you a game about murder? Oh, imagine. And also it's at a party. What a horrible, absolutely awful party to have a murder happen. And so I think that this is just something I think is part of growing up, I guess. It's like you have the worst party in the world where someone died because one of their acquaintances killed them. And everybody else is running around trying to figure it out. It's a terrible tragedy. And it's made me think about how sometimes we actually overlook the reality in front of us for the piece of the puzzle that fascinates us. What are we seeing? Or maybe most importantly, what are we not seeing? So I just wonder, I played that game so much. I wonder how something like that changes you or but in a way, I think it worked well for me because it, you know, really triggered my imagination because I loved thinking of those stories in that way. But maybe other people take it a different way and it triggers different things for them. So I'm so excited that we're going to be talking about this today, and we'll have to find out what's happening in the world of Clue these days with this focus on Art Zany Radio. And today in the Art Zany Radio studio, I welcome from Arcadia Charter School, Arts and Art Coordinator Noah Schomburg. Welcome to Art Zany Radio again.
Hello, thank you so much for having us. It's great to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Also joining us are two of the cast members, Willow Jo. Welcome.
Hello.
And Jack Wolf.
Hi.
Glad to have you back. This is very exciting. Are you both seniors now?
Just me.
Oh, you're a senior and you're a junior. Okay, so one more year I have a chance. And
wait, you're a junior?
Noah, we talk about this all the time.
I've done it like five times.
As you can see, they're having a lot of fun with this production. I can't wait. Oh, and I have one other cast member who, well, maybe auditioning. Ginger has joined us for the show today. She decided that she wanted to be the KYMN Studio Dog has decided to be a part of the show today. So everybody say hello. She's fabulous. So this high school edition of Clue opens at Arcadia next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you need to mark your calendars now because it is one weekend only. So we're going to be talking about that and having some fun, kind of reminiscing. I bet there's a lot of listeners out there who played the game of Clue. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and maybe did you play Clue growing up? Let's start with you, Jack.
Yeah, I'm a junior at Arcadia Charter School. I played a ton of Clue growing up. It was one of my favorite games. I just had so much fun trying to solve the puzzle and try and, like, use... I tried to cheat a lot, not gonna lie. But
how do you cheat in Clue? What do you mean?
You look at other people's cards.
Oh, you peek at the cards. Oh. Well, thank you for confessing.
Sorry.
And your family, all your family played. Mm-hmm. And tell us about your part in the show.
Yeah, I play Colonel Mustard, who's kind of a uptight but also idiotic colonel in the military. Yeah.
We'll talk more about that because I think that's really exciting. Willow, tell us a little bit about your role and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. I'm a senior at Arcadia, which is kind of crazy.
It does seem kind of crazy. As I mentioned to you, when you came in, I think you were my daughter's bird buddy when she was a kindergartner. Yeah. You were a first grader.
Yeah.
And it feels like that time just like a zip, it's gone.
I know. It's wild. I've been at Arcadia since sixth grade. So I've been there for 6 years. So it's
like home, yeah, second home.
It is so much like home, and I love it so much. It is such a wonderful school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited, I'm scared, I'm feeling all the emotions about graduating that mm-hmm. I think everybody feels. I play Mrs. Peacock, which is really fun. She is the character that I always played as when I played Clue.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play Clue a ton because I didn't own the Clue game until a few years ago. So it was always just a really fun treat if I was at somebody's house who owned Clue and getting to play Clue. I always loved it. It was such a fun game. If I knew that there was a Clue board game around, I would want to play it because it's just such a fun game and I loved it mm-hmm. so much.
Right. And what was it that intrigued you about the game?
I really like puzzle solving. Mm. I found out that I really like murder mysteries. I think that they're super fun to try to figure out, like, done it.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's such a simple question, but it has, mm-hmm. and there's endless variations, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what makes the game fun too, because you've got these rotating rooms and the different weapons and the different characters, and every time, mm-hmm. every time it's different. And so depending on who you play with, it's amazing. So it's a thrill to have you back. And both of you have been in a number of productions. I guess I've lost track. Have you lost track too, Jack? You've been in
since I was in kindergarten.
Exactly. And so how does it feel being in this production now that you're probably one of the ones who are the leaders?
It's really fun. I remember looking up to a lot of the older kids when I was younger and in productions like this one that have a very large age range. And it's really nice to get to be that for some other kids and get to be a leader and teach kids things. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's such a wonderful experience. So it's wonderful to have students have worked through so many different types of plays and productions and can add that. It makes it really fun to see for all of us in the audience too, as you are growing up, going through all the different productions, and it's a joy to see kids you recognize. How about for you, Willow?
Yeah, it's the time of year where I'm on stage.
Because I say, don't you do
yes,
backstage?
I usually do tech when it's with the guild, but then for school productions, I like to be performing. So it's exciting. I don't know. I haven't really addressed the any feelings that I might have about this being my last like on stage performance for here for a while at least. I don't know. It's exciting and it's a really great show. This is the best show that I think that I could ask for it to be my last one.
That's news to me. That's exciting.
No, wow. I love this show.
Oh, this
I do too. I'm just that's
I have
cool.
yeah. I've been cool. so in favor of this show from the beginning, and there like I have not had any negative feelings about this show whatsoever.
That's
throughout
really
the whole production.
What a great selection! Yeah, and no, you have now been with Arcadia for this is your second year, yes?
Yes. And, yep. Second year.
Okay, and so this and. You did a production last year of, I'm trying to remember.
Yes, we did last year. Both these guys were in it. We did the somewhat true tale of Robin Hood.
Oh, yes.
Kind of the like cartoony parody version of Robin Hood.
I love that. You've got a picture on your website of the Udall Hoffman, his character. Don't you?
Udall Hoffman was actually our sound designer, but he was in character, like he was dressed as like a Pied Piper type character. So he was making all sorts of fun sounds with his Renaissance outfit. But it was interesting going into this because Robin Hood kind of there was a little more leeway to be silly and like cartoony and like loosey goosey, if that makes any sort of sense.
Yes, it does with that production,
right? And it was so cartoonish you could really lean into it. And this is also like. Very comedic, very exaggerated, but in a very kind of snappy and, like, intelligently written way that doesn't allow for as much improvisation. So, like, tightening up some of those corners has been a challenge with this, but I'm glad that we chose to do it because I think that they're all ready for it.
And I saw your title as Art and Arts Coordinator.
Yeah, Visual and Performing Arts both, which...
That's where it came in.
Yep.
I thought I was trying to determine the distinction. And what has it been like to be in your second year? And, you know, how are you finding this role at Arcadia?
Well, I mean, like, on the one hand, it's exhausting, but there's nothing in the world that I would rather be doing, and they go really well together. Like, for example, if I need a prop for Clue, I'd be like, hey, go into the art room and make this, please, and then I'll have, like, you know, three or four students that'll volunteer to do that. So they do kind of go hand in hand. It can be overwhelming at times, but again, like, it is what I've wanted to do for as long as I can remember, so I'm super, super grateful that this is where I'm at, and that I'm working with the people that I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
You can work in a good field and still have a really tough time, but when you have people that are leaders and, you know, just compassionate, kind people and helpful people when you're putting on a production of this size, it really goes a long way.
Yeah, and it's a big, I mean, just the complications of the, you know, the game, you're trying to figure out all these things, but now you've got to put that on a little stage. And even just the characters, I want to name the characters, or at least, well, when I was looking up this game, I had no idea there's so many variations and versions and, you know, different British versions. There's modern versions that have taken out Mrs. White, who was like a classic when I was growing up.
Yeah.
There's Colonel Mustard, you mentioned. This one says that it was a reverend and Mr. It was always Mr. Green.
Mr. Green was sometimes a reverend. Not in this version. But,
I was...
But there's a lot of reimaginings.
Yes. And of course, Mrs. Peacock, Professor Plum. Professor Plum and Miss Scarlet and Mrs. Peacock were my favorites. And you could just imagine, just those names elicit some image in your mind. And then you've got six weapons, nine rooms, I think, in the board game maybe, but maybe not in the show. Do you have
sure
that many?
They all make an appearance.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, no. It's been a nightmare. There's a ballroom that's used for like 0.2 seconds that we got to make. But again, they're definitely ready for it, and we've had and needed like a ton of help, but they are just nailing it. And I know I said this a little bit earlier, but I think having the cast that I have really allows me to do more work on some of the behind the scenes stuff and the gathering props and supplies and doing, you know, that sort of tech side of things, because I know that the cast members know what they're doing and that they're going to help each other out, which just is amazing.
And so did a lot of the cast members know the game, or was it something you had to introduce people to?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they...
So it's still a classic, and it's still played. That's kind of a cool thing. And do you, you know, I guess the thing in the game is that there's a plot that changes all the time. So you have to pick one plot for this.
Yep.
Does it still, is it still as fun? Yeah. Or
you want to talk about
that? Yeah, I'll talk about that. So our show is based off of the movie Clue that came out in 1985, which that movie was very famous for having multiple endings in theaters. Different theaters would show different endings, so different people saw different movies.
How did I miss that? Wow. I would have loved that.
I love that kind of thing, like a choose your own adventure type thing is so fun and exciting to me. But our show takes that and we play through different ending scenarios.
Okay.
It's all in one go.
In one show. Yeah. And you stay in your character through the whole thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And have you had fun creating your character?
Yeah, it's been fun.
And tell me a little bit about what you've done. Or I know you want to surprise us, but with Mrs. Peacock.
Yes, she is.
Who is the real Mrs. Peacock?
That's a good question. She's. I'd say that she's put together. On the outside, she's put together. Okay. Maybe she has her own struggles. Okay. I'd say. She's a little bit of a scaredy cat, just a little, not the most out of the whole cast, I would say. I'd say that her reactions are, they make sense for what she's reacting to. I can't blame her for being scared in this situation.
I'm intrigued.
she's a hoot. She's an interesting
person. Have you designed or worked on the costume yet?
A little bit. We have a blue dress that is being made. There's pearls involved because of course.
I just imagined her with a little clutch purse or something.
Yes, she has a little bag that we're figuring out the bag still a little.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Mm-hmm. And Colonel Mustard, I mean, you could go a number of directions with that.
Yeah. Colonel Mustard.
Tell us more.
Yeah, he's just an idiot, and he doesn't really understand what's going on around him most of the time. I don't know. It's been interesting to, like, play a, like, military colonel, because, like, there's a lot of death, but he's a character who's, like, seen death before, having been in a war. But, like, I've been working on playing with, like, how much of a reaction might one have to that? Because, like, it's still murder.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
The comedic timing of these actors is just beyond anything I've ever experienced in my life. Because Jack's right, the character is a total buffoon, but it's not written in, like a silly, goofy way. Like, Jack has to play it very straight, and I think only Jack can do it the way that Jack is currently doing it. Like, it takes a very intelligent and informed actor to play a believably stupid character, and it's just been fun to watch. And it's, you know, that's not the only one. They're all kind of silly. They've all got their quirks and their kind of character flaws, but watching them approach those roles as serious dramatic actors is amazing, because the writing is so good in this script, and it, like, works for itself in a way that, like, requires them to just act authentically. And they've all been doing that so well, so it's been really fun to watch.
That is, that you're right, to do something that's that and get that right so that you don't end up looking buffoonish or something, but then you are able to, just get that spot right of when you say something and when you wait for the reaction, and because amongst the characters, too, on the stage, they have to learn that as well. Yeah. What's helped you with that?
I don't know, I think just really, like, listening and watching closely to what other people are doing and thinking, like, trying to really embody my character of, like, what is this person's life experience, like, what would they do, and just trying to think really hard and consciously about that, to just make the most, I don't know, natural expressive performance.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's also, you know, all of those different rooms and all those different props. That feels like that is, because this is supposed to be in some sort of fancy mansion.
Yep.
And so how are you creating that setting so it's like, yes, we have this rope, you know, noose sitting over here in our mansion, and it's perfectly normal to have that.
Well, yeah, we're getting a ton of help from families of students both in and out of the play, so I really can't, like, thank the community enough, and just the school of Arcadia has just been amazing at picking up the slack where needed and helping out with things that we need. So I've made a lot of trips to Party City, a lot of trips to the the dollar store, picking up random things, because yes, there are a ton of props, ton of moving rooms. It's a very intricate set. I mean, I didn't realize quite how intricate until we started rehearsing, and I was like, oh, right, there's 12 different rooms that need to be fit in this whole space. So if you're planning on attending, be aware there'll be people running through the audience, moving around, in front of you, behind you, all that good stuff. So it is a very chaotic and frantic show, but it's not, like, not in a sloppy way. It's very crisp, but it's written that way to be, like, deliberately confusing in a very fun and entertaining way.
We should mention again, I'm talking today with folks from Arcadia Charter School here in Northfield. I'm with Nora Schomburg, is the director of the production, also the art and arts coordinator, as well as students Willow Joe and Jack Wolf, who are in the production of Clue High School Edition, which opens on Friday the 3rd of May, Saturday the 4th, and Sunday the 5th. Oh, I think I just found a typo in my notes. I'll have to change that. So that gets posted online. The Friday, Saturday shows are at 7:30, and the Sunday is a matinee at 2 for folks who want to come. ArcadiaCharterSchool.org is the website, so you can get some details. School is located at 1719 Cannon Road, right down off of Highway 3 in Northfield, so really easy to find. Tickets, you don't need to get them in advance, correct? They can come to the door?
Nope. Yep, right at the door. And the matinee is actually, I'm going to double check my calendar here, I believe it's a little earlier than 2 o'clock. I think it's at 12 or 12:30, but I'm going to pull that up real quick here.
Do that, because we'll get that changed so we can make sure and get that. But that's wonderful to be able to have three opportunities to see it. It is just the one weekend.
Yes, and it is, 12:30 on Sunday. But yes, it is a matinee. It is earlier than the other performances.
Okay, so folks, thank you for getting that updated so we get that right.
Oh, no, for sure.
And tell me a little bit about how you are working through. Does it change it when you know the answer? Because that's one of the fun things of doing the game, is you don't know the answer, and now you know the answer. How does that feel?
I'd say that it's still very fun. I think that,
and yeah, I should ask, audiences do get to get the answer right.
Yes.
We don't leave it ambiguous.
There's
there's definitely answers.
Okay.
lots of answers.
It's like too many answers. Like it's the opposite of a cliffhanger. Like they just they overload you with information.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I think it's fun to perform it so that it's a surprise for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
It is fun to be surprised, but I think it's also equally fun to be the surpriser.
Yes. Yeah, I would imagine. But you haven't been able to do it in front of an audience.
No, not yet.
And that'll be kind of an amazing experience. You did mention that this was, even though this is the high school version, we should perhaps give a little advance notice?
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
Yeah. So, who'd have thunk, the play about people murdering each other in a mansion has a lot of murder weapons in it. So, there are no, like, age restrictions or anything like that, but just be aware if you are bringing younger people, there are weapons, there are people running through the space, there will be, you know...
All false, fake weapons.
Oh, yes, fake weapons that will not be pointed anywhere at the audience, but there will be, you know, gunshot sound effects, some daggers, a lot of murder happening... and some adult jokes taken from the movie. I thought I was safe when I purchased the high school edition, and then we started reading through the high school edition together, and I went, oh my goodness, they didn't change anything. Which is great, because again, the writing is just so stellar. I have never seen anything like it. Like, the way they do comedic writing is unbelievable, and I wouldn't want to change anything. But just be aware that there is murder in our murder play, and there will be some tobacco and alcohol references as well. But nothing that mature viewers wouldn't be able to handle. It's not an offensive play by any means. It just handles a lot of mature themes.
It's humorous, it sounds. Yes, right. It's correct. Meant to be a romp or a fun escapade that you get to witness and play along, perhaps. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so tell us about the way that you're getting all of the rehearsals with all of that stuff going on. How have you broken down the play to be able to rehearse so much that happens?
Yeah, it's been a lot of work. It's not split up into two acts. I don't know.
Nope.
Are we going to have an intermission?
Nope. No, yeah, I just divided it in half because that made rehearsal easier. But acts one and two. It is.
Yeah. And it's a straight through. And
yep.
There are eight main people, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
See, there's the six.
There's six and then Wadsworth and then Yvette. So. Yeah. So there's eight. And the lines are divided up pretty evenly, so it is a lot of back and forth and a lot of lines for everybody, so that was a lot of work to memorize that, and yeah, it's
do you have any tips for it, because I think probably if that is the most, like, I would have nightmares about memorizing, right?
Yeah.
It's a very challenging thing to do, and I know that you do it over and over, so that helps, but you know, as an actor, you want to feel like you're not going to forget your lines. What have you learned over the years about that?
Wow. I don't know. I like to read. I just repeat my lines to myself in my head, and then like I'll read it over and over again, and then I'll look away and try to be able to say it,
like, one line at a time. Do you add each day, like, you're
I usually like to do it in a session, where I'll just go until I feel done, I guess. But yeah, I usually take the first little bit of my line, take it usually in sentences at a time so I can memorize a sentence, and then I'll cover up my line and I'll read my cue, and try to see if I can say it, and then I'll bug my parents and say, please read the lines before the purple highlighted lines.
Oh, those would be your lines that are in purple.
Yeah.
What have you learned about lines and memorization?
I don't know. I really agree with everything Willow said. I also just like to read through the whole script, like, a few times so I can really understand the structure of the play and, like, what's coming next, because I feel like just knowing the individual lines isn't enough to, like, know the story and understand what's happening. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's really cool, yeah.
I think that no matter how much work you put into memorizing it just off the script.
And just being by yourself.
And just being by yourself, I think that in rehearsals, that is where a lot of the extra, like, solidifying goes for the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Because I might be able to know what I'm going to say, but, like, actually pretending and doing the actions that are happening while I'm saying it really helps me remember things.
Right. And you're also having you can have a line on a page, but do you make it more a question that raises up at the end and emphasizes that word? Or are you, maybe you've missed a tone or something that's supposed to be in there, or you're going to overlap with another person's line.
Yeah.
At what point do those spaces come in, and how do you coordinate? What are you learning as a director about all of those things?
Well, I'm actually glad you brought that up, because there are a few moments in this show. First of all, the way that we go about that typically is that I can't praise my actors enough, because they're so innately good at the things they need to be good at for this to work. So they'll try different things with each take. Like, they'll try to be funny in a different way. And then when something clicks, like, when it sticks, it's obvious, because, like, the people off stage will laugh. I'll laugh. Like, it'll be like, when they find something that works, it'll be like, oh yeah, like, that's it. So they'll try a few different things, and I really applaud them for that. And then when they find the one that works, it's kind of like a general consensus of, like, oh yeah, that's it. And there's also a few moments where they get to improv a little bit, like, where they're all arguing or screaming. And I love trying to pick out individual voices and listen to what they're saying, because it makes me laugh so hard I cry every single time, because they're so good at just improvising nonsense that's in character. Like, when Jack is angrily screaming about, like just military stuff in a time that has no, like, there's no reason for it. Like, it'll just be like, or like Willow's, I don't know. There's some really great moments of stuff that they come up with completely on their own That I'm just loving watching.
Well, and it sounds like you have to create that environment as a director where people can do those experimenting. It's safe to like fall, you know, or like to have a line fall flat and be like, no, let's do something different. Because that can be hard for some people to hear that. Like, I thought that was so cool, but you don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think actors of all kinds have to deal with that. Professional actors in all fields. That's, you know, part of taking a risk. So I, do everything I can to create an environment where that sort of experimenting is welcomed and encouraged. And again, I just have to thank my cast of students because they're really good at that too.
Like, how do you think you do that? Like, do you have any, like, certain, is the first few days really important? Do you have games you play together? Do you?
Well, occasionally. And it's tough because, like, going forward, the more I learn, the more it's the more helpful it is. Like, the more run-throughs you have, obviously, the more helpful it is. Mm-hmm. So I would love to just take, like, so much time with, like, the improv games and the, like, messing around and the, like, character growth and development and stuff. But I need to make sure that they know, like, they're blocking in lines first. So, like, I really – and that was a learning experience because last time I tried to do all the fun – like, the fun stuff, you know, the quote-unquote fun stuff first. And Bob was like, dude, you have to get them to know their lines and know where they're going to stand
first. And that
like,
was a reference to the infamous Bob Gregory Bjorklund.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I should see Bob Gregory Bjorklund.
Folks on this show know. Bjorklund. No, Bob.
The Mr. Miyagi of Northfield is my mentor and friend. He's an amazing human being, but he's taught me a lot of what I currently know, and sometimes you have to do the hard work first and then you can kind of get to play with the fun stuff, which is what, again, they've been really good at doing so far.
That is really interesting. Yeah, you do have to balance that. And do you feel that as a production then, is it different because you're doing this with classmates, that as opposed to like if you're doing an Arts Guild production, there's going to be a whole bunch of new people. Mm-hmm. This is people you're with, you know, all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like it's really helpful that we, like, know them and can anticipate how they're going to say a line or do something, whereas if it were a new person, you don't necessarily know what they're going to do next, which makes it... It's fun, but it makes it harder to get that click together as soon as you might.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also think that it's great that we know the people that we're with, because we feel we feel more comfortable with them, and we feel more comfortable to play with them. Be able to be, we know what kind of jokes we can make and how we can play things, and we can do certain improvisations that we know that the people will be comfortable with, which I think is just so great.
So let me ask, has the cast played a game of Clue together, the board game?
No, and we're yet. Going to. I think I want to wait. Oh, yeah. I was thinking, like, after we do Set Takedown or something, we play a game where everyone plays their characters or something like that.
Oh, not during the rehearsals.
That's in the cards.
We have
I don't know if we
Mafia.
Have time during rehearsals, but we have played Mafia before.
No, I don't think Mafia. I know that game.
It's... Fun.
There's no board, it's a voting game. It's like a heads up, 7-up type thing where people have secret roles. Yeah. And
it's also a murder mystery.
It's a murder mystery, yep.
There's a lot of games for kids that...
You're noticing this, yeah.
Fun puzzles, the go-to puzzle game is figure out the murder.
Yep.
That is an...
Just automatic suspense.
Yeah, that is an interesting note about our culture. What else have we missed about this production? What do you want to tell people about the other folks that are in the play, and what people can expect, or things that you've learned about maybe from this production that you are understanding differently about theater or being a part of a show?
Well, as I said earlier, this is just an amazing production. I love it.
I can just see it. I wish the audience could see your face because you're just lighting up.
I love this show so much, and I've had so much fun the entire time. I've never felt any sort of dread or worry, I guess, about it, which is a first. And I think people like to pretend that that's not a thing that we feel, but I think everybody feel a great amount of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have to go and do this right now. I don't know if this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But this show, the whole time I've known this is going to be a great production. This is going to be so fun. And it has the whole time been so fun.
And what have you learned about theater? What's new that you're getting from this experience?
I guess there are some new people who I have not been in a performance with before, mm-hmm. or just any production with. We have a wonderful Wadsworth, who is the butler, played by Ezra Warren. Phenomenal. I think that is such a great role and such a great person to cast in that role. So perfect. Very funny. Does a great job delivering the silly little lines.
Mm-hmm.
We also have our Mr. Green is Connor Bourne. He is so funny.
Hilarious.
He's so fun. Played Lady Marian in Robin Hood last year.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
A very tall redhead.
Very, so fun. He's such a fun person.
Mm-hmm.
And gets to reprise in Complete Works, which was 2 years ago that we did. He played Ophelia in our little Hamlet bit and got to throw water on himself. And in this production, he gets to spill a lot of liquids onto himself, which is...
And others. He's a very clumsy
He's a very clumsy
character,
guy.
Yeah.
But you get to see him being a klutz, which is...
Super fun.
So fun.
Oh, that's wonderful. And Jack, how about for you? And you've been in so many productions, but I would imagine each one, you have different takeaways.
Yeah, I don't know. This one I've particularly just taken away, like, the sense of everyone coming together. I feel like just during rehearsals, like, even when people aren't acting, like, they're always, like, working on a prop, working on a costume. Everyone is doing everything just to make this happen, and I think it's a really beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like the spirit of Arcadia. I don't know. It's something that comes through and comes across. And so how big is the cast?
Let's see. We had the 8, and then we've got
13.
I think 13. Yeah. Okay. In the ballpark of 13 for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then some tech crews and
Yep. Yeah. And some of the characters are like wait staff, and they help with like scene transitions and also like maintaining the space and making it so they're like in character the whole time. And I swear to God, they're like the most important people in the show, because like there's so many rooms that have to move and change, and they're just like running around like the seven dwarves, like moving stuff, rotating things, like setting things up. And I would not be able to do the show without them. So
right,
it is all hands on deck, and everyone is working to full capacity, and they're all doing a great job.
That's one of the things, the sort of pitfalls, I guess, or dangers of a production with that many props and different important mm-hmm. parts is, like, something's going to go wrong, right? Something mm-hmm. at some point is going to, it's supposed to be on that table, and it's actually on the floor over there, and I got to figure out how to get over there, but mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, or there's some complication. And so I think that's always interesting. How do you rehearse mistakes?
Well, I think that...
Or oopsies, or...
That's a good question.
I think sometimes those oopsies can... If you play it right, it can be funny. It can look intentional, almost. Yeah. Or the audience might know and realize that it's a mistake, but if you play it off, it can be a fun little happy accident.
Mm-hmm. What have you learned about that?
I think also just having mistakes in rehearsal gets you used to, if you have a mistake in a performance, and you learn how to deal with that and how to play it off, because everyone makes mistakes. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you forget a line, and then you need to have the other actor feed you something. So it prompts you, like, weren't you going to talk about what you were going to have for dinner? Or whatever the line might be.
Yep. Yeah, I've done the little elbow and be like, that's what I said.
I try, and I can't speak for anyone else what their experience has been, but I try to be, like, pretty lenient with mistakes towards the beginning, and a little bit, like, stricter as we go forward. So, mm-hmm. like, once we get into tech week next week, I'm not going to be there to help them as much as, you know, there won't be as much stopping and starting, which in a way is great, because if you're stopping and starting every 3 minutes, then it's really hard for them to get in the sense of, like, what comes next and what their next movement is. So, in a way, early on, we have to stop for some of those mistakes, be like, okay, go get your thing. And then going forward, we just have to be like, okay, you're going to have to deal with it in the moment on the spot. But Connor was one. He did something amazing during Robin Hood. Like, he had some insane run that he had to do backstage where he didn't like quite get to where he needed to be in time. But then when he did, like, he was in the door frame and he was just like panting. He's like, "Whoa, like that was a long staircase." So, like, he was up and he just nailed it. Like, it was so funny. And it's that. So I'm. Again, right, things in shows go wrong, and especially with something as complicated as this, we have no idea what it's going to look like, but I do know that every single one of these actors will be able to hold their own and is going to do an amazing job of maintaining the story, not only for themselves, but for the audience and for their fellow castmates.
It sounds like such an absolutely fun show. I mean, it's just the thing we need right now. I don't know if that was part of your reason for selecting it, was something fun and, you know, a little humor in the world.
Well, it's kind of what you said earlier. Yeah, I loved your intro because it really just, it captured my imagination. I don't know why. I was like Batman growing up. So I was like, ooh, like people in colarful suits, like, oh, murder, like, oh, can be larger than life characters.
Gotham,
you know?
Solving
so,
all
so,
those.
Right.
The,
I don't, and
the
I
town that has more crime.
Right, exactly right. I couldn't speak for anyone else, but I just like, I know the actors that we have and I know this is going to be a fun show. But it's also a show for dramatic actors. So finding something that did both of those things was a really exciting opportunity.
Tell me more about that.
That's something that I really like about this show, I think. I think that previous performances I've been in, it's been a little more comedic, especially Robin Hood last year was very, like, slapstick.
Yes.
Almost. Yep. And so
and
I
very
was,
physical.
Yes,
yeah.
Very. And that's how the humor was delivered. I was so excited for this year to be able to play things more dramatically, mm-hmm. and that I can, it's less of a cartoon. It's less cartoonish, and that's really exciting for me. That's how I like to perform things, mm-hmm. And I like to try to put. It's harder for me to put myself in the characters when it's a more cartoonish humor thing, but when it's like this, where it's you're at a fancy dinner party and then there's a bunch of murders happening, what are you gonna do? It's really fun to step in the shoes of that,
right? And to maybe enter the character in a mm-hmm. way that's more like involved and more unique, because you need to know a little bit more about the character.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, like, there's basically no reason for any of these characters to be having a good time. Like, the audience is gonna love it, but, like, everyone on stage, it's like Jurassic Park. Like, the audience is like, "Ooh, yay!" And, like, everyone on screen is just going through trauma for every second of the show. So they've been great at delivering that.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, too, because this is your senior year and junior, so coming up on the close of your high school education, do you think about doing plays in your future? Doing plays outside in you know, in your next world, whatever that might be?
I think that I would love to work on productions at my school that I'm going to in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll be on stage at least for the first few because it's scary. It's a whole new place.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely would love to be working in a theater for at least a bit.
And maybe that depends. I was just thinking, like, which production they're doing that might prompt you to decide, oh yeah, I think I want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really fun. That would be fun to follow you. And Jack, you got another year that you can do some more, but what are you thinking? Is that, because it's been such an integral part of who you are.
Yeah, I think I'm almost definitely going to continue acting, probably not on a professional level, but I would love to keep doing community theater wherever I end up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such an important, we are such a lucky community to be able to have so many different opportunities and talented folks who share their skills. Like you mentioned, Bob has been just, I think, for so many people has lit that fire or got them excited about being in the theater. And had you been, I guess I didn't ask you, had you been in the theater prior to being at Arcadia?
Oh yeah,
I think I know you as absolutely. A visual artist.
Well, it's funny. I really lucked out because, like you said, it's an amazing place for that. So yeah, growing up, those have always been my interest areas. Performing arts, acting, and visual arts as well. So I've spent a lot of time with both of those, which means that there are certain things I'm still finding my footing on, like sound and lights and tech, because that wasn't really my area of expertise. It was more I liked the acting. I liked the drawing and the making art. So, growing up, that's been a huge part of my life. And I think the only thing better than getting to perform in amazing shows like the ones that we have in this community is helping other people get to perform in amazing shows around the community.
Yes, and I do want to mention, because last weekend I saw the Northfield Arts Guild production of Matchmaker. And I think I'm just looking to make sure in my notes, like, when is the, I think there's, oh, did it already close? Did it close on the 28th? 28th, that's this weekend. Yes. Okay, so this is the last weekend.
Oh, wow, just in time. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And so I have to say, that's my new favorite play, and this production, it also has some of those elements of lots of crazy things happening with people, hiding and mistaken. We laughed so hard during that production, and so I want to give a shout out to everybody who's a part of that production. We did our interview on Art Zany Radio a little while ago, so you might not remember, but it was just the absolute extraordinary experience. So if you guys can maybe get inspired by going to see the Matchmaker this weekend and then have everybody come to your production the following weekend, because you're only on that one weekend. Mm-hmm. As we close, any last minute notes or shout outs or anything that you want to give to the community to convince people to show up for the production and buy their tickets? Again, at the door, the opening day is the 3rd Friday. That's at 7:30. Saturday, the 4th at 7:30. And Sunday, the 5th at 12:30. So we got that new matinee time, which is kind of nice because, your day will still have plenty of time in your day.
Yeah, I want us to have enough time to debrief and clean up and all that.
Yes, right. Right. Any thoughts? Anything we should add?
Yeah, it's just a really fun show. It's amazing, and I really recommend it, and we'd love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can't be a murder mystery if nobody's there to not know what's going to happen.
If a murder happens in the forest and no one is around to see it, did it actually happen? Is it still a murder? Yeah. No, there it is.
Well, it's been my pleasure to host you, and I can't wait. I'm so excited. I loved this board game and I have not seen the movie, so this will all be brand new to me when I come see it.
I just thought of my last shout out to viewers. I think you can see the Clue movie for free on YouTube right now.
The whole movie?
I think so. You might have to sit through some ads, but I'm fairly certain, unless they've changed that, you can go check out the 1985 movie on YouTube with Tim Curry in his prime. And it's a good watch if you haven't seen it before.
Isn't that amazing how that references are available for just random things that happened and we can just come up with it. So what a world. But don't forget about live performances, because those matter a whole deal. And it becomes, I think, a community experience, right? Everybody gets to be a part of it, and you can talk about it and tell everybody. So I will be there, and I can't wait for everybody to join us. I want to thank my guests today, Noah Schomburg, Willow Joe, and Jack Wolf, for being a part of Art Zany Radio. Folks, I hope you always remember to add some Art Zany to your life. And of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.